The safety is off. There's a round in the chamber. This is Armed Alabama, sponsored by McCoy Outdoor Company, Mobile's hometown full-line outdoor sporting products and gear store, an interactive talk show discussing self-defense, product reviews, shooting tips, safety, and more. Your calls, comments, and texts welcome at 343-0106. Now, here are your hosts, retired judge and certified NRA instructor, Rusty Johnston, and certified NRA law enforcement instructor, Adam Strange.
They're gonna pry these guns right out of my hands when they come to take them away. I believe in the rights that my fathers gave me when he signed the Constitution that day. No misguided president or crooked politician with a greasy pocket be spared. When the hardworking man gets tired of your cry, it's gonna rain wrath, beware. Don't tread on me, I'm American free. You're not gonna take it away. I'll stand up and fight for my freedoms and rights. That's a price you'll have to pay. Don't tread on me, I'm American free. Red-blooded to the core. You ain't ever had a fight in your life like a fight that you're.
Welcome to 2009, the first Armed Alabama show for this year. It's January 8th, 2009. I said 2009, 2019. And that date, January 8th, carries a particular significance to us in this area. That was the date that Andrew Jackson, Major General Andrew Jackson, squared off against British General Packenham at the Battle of New Orleans. An overwhelming victory. We had something like 24 killed. They had several hundred. And I think there was a famous song written about that. Charlie, if I'm right.
Yeah, I don't have it yet.
We'll get to that. But if you've never been over there, a lot of people will tell you, it's just a big old swampy field. It's more than that. Knowing what happened there is pretty interesting. By the way, General Packenham, the British general, was the brother-in-law of the Duke of Wellington. He was supposedly excellent, but, they had a terrible tactics, and Jackson defeated him. Everybody always says, well, that was after the war was over. Well, it was also after the war over when the war was over, when the British came over to Fort Boyer, now where Fort Morgan is, in the middle of February the next month, and attacked that fort and actually seized it. So it didn't stop them from doing anything. I'll give you one more intro in a second, Charlie. Armed Alabama is the only firearm-based radio talk show that originates from the state of Alabama, and we talk about pistols, revolvers, shotguns, concealed carry, ammunition, training, and attacks on our God-given right to protect ourselves and our family. This is retired Circuit Judge Rusty Johnston and NRA firearms instructor Adam Strange is under the weather tonight. Adam, if you're listening, get well soon. As I said, on this date, in 1815, Andrew Jackson, and they always say that the pirate Jean Lafitte, I looked him up, Charlie, and he was also a slave trader.
He was quite a character.
A trader in, women of the evening. And he was kind of a bad dude. But anyway, we won. So I wonder how historically accurate that song is.
Do you have? I have a feeling there's a little bit of fiction to make the words rhyme.
Yeah, I think it is too. I'm hoping exploding alligators.
And I'm hoping when I push the button, it'll start properly.
See.
We'll see.
We took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We looked down a river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum. They stepped so
You might be interested in the Battle of New Orleans. The British troops suffered a total of 2,084 casualties. That's killed, wounded, missing, captured. And the American forces suffered, 33. Looks like right about 50 killed. There were 13 killed, 30 wounded, and 19 missing or captured.
Well, the British didn't have any of those alligators to shoot with.
I heard a guy. There are a couple of good sites on the internet. This, oddly enough, is the Kansas City Public Library. You'd think very strange, but they're right near Fort Leavenworth.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Army hires a lot of historians. And so one of their historians was down giving a lecture on the Battle of New Orleans. And he said, you know, it was very difficult terrain for the British. They had to go through swamps and these bogs. And you know what's in bogs? You got alligators, you've got cottonmouths, you've got zombies, you got mosquitoes. He just rattled that off before anybody realized it. But
Judge, there was an interesting thing. A year or so ago, I went to Gulfport and got on one of the ferry boats that goes out to Ship Island. And there's a little tiny Fort Massachusetts out there, which is, of course, reconstructed, and a nice beach and other things. But it's part of the Gulf Islands National Seashore. And the guide was telling us that during the Battle of New Orleans, the British assembled their fleet of warships right there off of Western Ship Island.
Yeah, because they came through Lake Bourne and anchored there and basically came in little boats and, you know, up through the swamps.
Of course, it wasn't Western Ship Island then.
Yeah.
It's Western now because I think it was Katrina or Camille cut the island in half.
And I bet back then it wasn't 45 degrees in January. It was probably 65 or 70 with the mosquitoes and snakes and everything else. By the way, want to thank singer-songwriter Buck Allen. He didn't write Battle of New Orleans, but he wrote our intro tune. He's a great guy, and you can visit him at Facebook at Buck Allen Singer-Songwriter. Also want to thank the good folks at McCoy Mobile. And by the way, if you got something unusual for Christmas, whether it be from McCoy or somebody else, kind of related to guns, let us know, especially something unique that maybe we don't know about.
A
gun under the tree. You know, I was looking at some of – collect quotes. And these don't have to be from famous people. These can be from defendants in the courtroom. And I was assembling some one the other day, and one I loved. It was a criminal defendant. We were having a competency hearing, whether he was mentally competent, stand trial. And he said, "A crazy man don't know he's crazy." So I put that quote in there.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of truth in
that. Yeah, there is. And one I hadn't put yet is a let's say, lady of the evening that probably used drugs was being
cross-examined. Nicely said, Judge.
Yeah, was being cross-examined by an attorney, and he says she was talking about using drugs during this killing or whatever. And he said, "Ma'am, are you high on crack right now?" And she said, "No, I ain't, but when I get out of here, I'm sure going to get me some." And I thought, good for you. Somebody is finally answering honestly. But you never know what's going to come. When I was collecting a bunch of money, which they've kind of made illegal now, the people that owed, they owed court costs, they had restitution, et cetera. And there was a 19-year-old that just wasn't paying, and his grandmother was there, and she said, "You better pay the judge because he ain't playing." Because I was locking up a lot of people then. So, by the way, we are on Facebook. If you hadn't subscribed to Facebook, go to Armed Alabama Radio, FM Talk 106.5, and you can see me, for what it's worth, live right there. And that's pretty interesting. And the past ones are also included. Did I cut you off, Charlie?
Well, no, I was just going to say you're talking about a quote from defendants in a trial. An interesting thing, and particularly if you're retired or you got a little extra time, go downtown and sit in on a trial or two and just see what actually goes on.
You should.
For the public.
You ought to go Monday at about 9 o'clock, 8:39, into the big courtroom that is up on the 8th floor. That's where the jury is qualified.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, jurors come up. One of the best excuses I had was, "Judge, I can't serve past Wednesday on the jury." Well, that's pretty good. So I was going to let her off, and I said, "May I ask why?" She said, "'Cause I'm having an abortion Thursday morning."
Well, it would have messed up her schedule, I guess.
I was speechless, as I guess I should have been, but I've got a few more like that written down. But remember, our number here, folks, is 251-343-0106. Did you get a gun, something like that, for Christmas? Or do you know about some incident where an armed citizen has defended someone? A lot of those happen during Christmas. Just give us a call, or you can text a question to that number. I don't know how that works, but if you text it, it gets to me somehow.
And for Mike, Thomas, and Brian, we'll get to you right after the break coming up.
We're right on break. Remember our number, 251-343-0106 at FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile, Alabama. We're here weekly. We'll be right back.
Long and shaggy, like the hippies out in San Francisco do. And I'm proud to be an Okie from Muskogee, a place where even squares can have a ball.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
You see, in this world, there's two kinds of people, my friend. Those with loaded guns, and those who dig. You dig. Where?
Clint Eastwood there, one of our favorite actors, and looking at favorite callers, and Charlie, I'm not sure I see him right. Put the first person on.
All right, well, let's go to Mike. And,
hey, Mike.
How you doing, Mike?
How's it going?
Fine. How about you?
I tell you, I'm doing all right. I need to contact that Buck Allen myself. Hey, I've been writing. I haven't told you my last name, but I've been writing songs since I was 15 years old, man, and
well,
I'm 50-something years
great.
Old.
I mean, people
I've even
told
been
me,
to Nashville singing before.
Yeah, you people can tell told us. Me that kind of Southerners writing songs were like the old English writing poetry.
Hey, I tell you what, you Mike, know? You can tell us your last name. It'll just be between us.
Yeah,
nobody right. will ever know.
Hey, if I'm you, Michael Mosley, man.
Go to his Facebook page. Buck
I don't
Allen.
Have a Facebook.
Well, I tell you, do you have email?
I've got an email.
Why don't you send me your email at thejudge@armedalabama.com, and I'll send it on to him.
Thejudge@armedalabama.com?
Yeah, or if I have his email, I'll send it back to him. Yeah.
Okay, and hey, I've even thought about writing a song for the show myself.
Well, I wish you would. We'll play it.
I've been writing for a long time. I mean, I was in NSAI, which is a Nashville Songwriters Association that met in Mobile.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's not why I'm calling tonight.
Right, okay.
What I'm calling tonight, and I know you're going to think this is crazy, but I have never been, I've never been to a gun show.
Okay.
So I don't know what's involved. In other words, if I was looking at a video about some gun shows on the YouTube.
Yeah.
And they showed some pretty good dang prices on some of the handguns.
Well, I'll give you the brief rundown, if you want. Number one, you got to make sure that if you want to buy a new gun, that the gun's new.
Right.
There are a number of legitimate gun stores that sell at gun shows, and if that's your case, then they have to go through the background check, just like they were buying at the store. An individual can set up a table to sell like a yard sale. I could set up.
That was my question.
Yep.
Would I have to go? In other words, I don't mind. I mean, I want to do things legal beagle, what I mean? But I didn't know what was involved. In other words, like if I saw a handgun that I could get pretty reasonable that I liked, do I still have to go through all the process of having it shipped? Like if it was out of state, I was in Mississippi.
Well, and I you live get in
Alabama,
another
do they
problem.
Have to ship it to a local?
If it's in Mississippi, yes. They've got a stupid law that on handguns, you can only buy a handgun, over the counter with the proper checks in your state of residence. There's a lawsuit pending for the Supreme Court now about that, U.S. Supreme Court, because, whether you bought it in Iowa or Alabama, the same background check is run. But Yeah, if you buy it in another state.
So it has to go through an FFL no matter what.
Right, right.
Well, I don't blame them. I mean, I can understand some people's objections to the idea that people just walk in and get a gun and just
leave. Oh, I agree. It ought to have to just, but see, the way they've got it set up, you cannot buy one, in, let's say in Iowa, a pistol, whether you go through a check or not. You can buy one, but then it's shipped to Alabama, you know, to a dealer, and that's, but to give you that, just make sure which, if it's new, it's new, it's not. I will tell you that I was reading a good article about this, so-called collectible guns may not be as collectible as you think. If you're going to buy a used gun, you know, break it down as far as you can, look in there with your eyeballs, see if there's rust, and if there is, you know, if it's priced cheap enough, that's fine. But if it's being priced like it's brand new,
now,
you know, don't do
gun.
That. And
in other
I'm
words,
wary
a long gun
of
don't
used...
have to go through all the process like a handgun, would it?
Well, if I'm wary of any, let's say, 30-year-old gun that has a lot of plastic parts. I'll tell you, a friend of mine gave me, it's a great gun, Marlin Camp Carbine. It had so much plastic in it, almost the minute I broke it down, the plastic just disintegrated. And it wasn't worth it. I wasn't going to try to order the parts and put it back together. It didn't cost me anything.
But, Judge, he was also asking if he buys a long gun, does he have to go through the same process?
It depends on the state you're in.
Right. Like, does it have to be shipped to an FFL in my state?
You know,
if I'm out of state when I buy it?
Not normally, but you could be in, let's say, Tennessee. That I don't know what their law is. They may say that. They may say no sales to anyone out of state.
So I don't hand over $300 and just walk out the door, put it in my car, and leave, huh?
Well, sometimes you can. So just we got a lot of them here in the state.
But you're going to have dealers and individuals at a gun show. And look, look at the schedule of the Shriners Auditorium out on Hit
Usually
Road.
Usually have one in kind of December.
I wanted to go out there, and I just never got around to doing it.
Well, I think they have about one a month, it
seems
like.
Well, I'll tell you, they're not as good as they were in the 80s. It was kind of like a Turkish bazaar of arms. but they're still interesting just to see what there is out there, even if you don't have any intention about it.
Rusty, I got a follow-up.
I better let somebody else talk now.
All right, okay. Thank you for calling.
If somebody...
enjoy your show, always.
Appreciate
Thank you, sir. If somebody... is selling a privately owned pistol, and he's selling it out of the back seat of his car out in the parking lot. Does that happen?
It happens. I have bought a shotgun from somebody who had it over his shoulder with a sign on it that said for sale.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's
so,
free enterprise.
A smart seller would say, great, I'll sell it to you for this and that price. Could I see your concealed carry permit? What do you mean concealed carry permit? I'm not concealed. That kind of satisfies me that I know I'm not selling it to a felon.
That's right.
So that'd be the smart thing to do.
You ready to go pick up Brian? Yep. Brian, good evening. Welcome to the show.
Hey, evening, guys.
Brian. How about you?
Doing good, Judge. My point that I wanted to make wasn't, and y'all might know this already, but did y'all know that after the Battle of New Orleans, that's a part of that same British force that got their butt kicked in New Orleans came to Dolphin Island and camped to kind of recoup. Did y'all know that?
Yeah, well, and then they attacked Fort Morgan. It was called Fort Boyer then, February 15th, and actually won that. I mean, if you call it a battle, I think they had a couple of dozen people there.
Sure.
So we always act like the win in New Orleans really wasn't anything because the war was over. Well, nobody knew that. And why did they come over and attack Fort Boyer then?
Had to get a win somewhere.
Yeah. But it's an interesting period of history, too, because
kind
of consolidated, this part of the country. And Jackson was up against more odds than General Wilkinson, who was the overall general in charge of the South. He was a Spanish spy number 13, and he was always screwing with Jackson. So
it was interesting to me. Yeah, I've always been a history buff, but the War of 1812, Rev War, that's not really my strong suit. I'm more 1860s myself.
Well, nobody, it's been put down so much. What's interesting is at the end of James Madison's term of office, that term, I think it was 1814, no, either, let's see. Well, anyway, a year or two after that, he left office. Well, he won one more term. But when he left office, he was allegedly the most popular president there ever has been. there are more towns and counties named after Madison than any other president.
That would be Madison, Alabama included.
There
as
you
well,
go. There you go. They're all over. And honestly, he was probably a better legislator than he was a president. But, you sure. know, it's that's how timing does.
Yeah. So. Like I was saying, I was always interested coming up, you know, as a history buff. I've got local friends that are a little bit older than me that were relic hunters in the 70s. And they talk about finding all this British stuff on Dauphin Island, and it never lined up with me in my head. Okay, that's why it's there.
There you go.
Because they came back, and that's where they recouped after the Battle of New Orleans.
You want me to give you a more serious place to find relics? Go sure. 5 or 10 miles out in the Gulf and just drag along the bottom. You'll find arrowheads. They're arrowheads, you know, you have to look at them, probably from the Clovis people that lived here 12,000 years ago, because the sea, you know, during the last ice age, was 150, 250 feet lower. So imagine how far that went out. And people lived along the seacoast.
Yeah, that was part of that underwater forest.
I've known people that have found those, too.
That underwater forest that somebody's made a film of.
Yeah, but that's pretty interesting, too. But anyway, I appreciate you calling. Keep listening.
Yes, sir. I listen as much as I can. I enjoy it.
Great. Take care.
Y'all have a good night. Yes, sir.
And, Charlie, looks like we've got some open lines, and Thomas had to go away. So
you've heard of General Sun Tzu, famous Chinese general. I mean, did he really live? Who knows? But everybody says he did. He wrote a book called The Art of War, which you can actually get free, a PDF download. And The Art of War.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have this pasted on our Facebook page right now as our background. He stated, there is no instance of a nation benefiting from prolonged warfare. Now, isn't that interesting? I was thinking about 17, 18 years in Afghanistan.
Yeah, and Iraq and Syria.
Oh, remember, people were going berserk. Vietnam is 9 years now, whatever. We're going on 18 there. So yeah, that's one of those things. But he's got some interesting things to say.
Time for a break, Judge.
We're bottom of the hour break, and we will be back after this break. Take more of your calls and text at FM Talk 106.5.
In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We looked down a river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum. They stepped so high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside our cotton bales and didn't say a thing. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
I own this establishment. Bought it from Greeley for $1,000.
You better clear out of there.
Yes, sir. Just hold it right there. Hold it!
You just shot an unarmed man.
Well, he should have armed himself. He's going to decorate his saloon with my friend.
That is Clint Eastwood in Unforgiven, which I think is an excellent movie. It's a little
dark.
I was going to say, a little dark at times, a lot of times. And I tell you, it made me dislike Gene Hackman immensely.
Uh-huh.
But the funny thing I still remember is there was kind of a fraudulent Englishman, a sharpshooter, and his name, he claimed he was the Duke of something, and Hackman kept calling him the Duck of something instead of Duke.
My favorite was the guy trying to write a journal about what was going on in the Wild West.
Yeah, he was just...
And there were people out there, and they were glamorizing Billy the Kid and the different outlaws and gangs.
Yeah. And people that know more than me say that that's – that's where kind of a lot of our ideas of the Old West have come from. But, you know, who knows? I wasn't around. Do we have anybody? Like I say,
we've got lines open for callers as we speak.
I want to mention a couple of our wonderful advertisers. One is Steve Moore. Steve is a personal injury attorney here in Mobile. You know, a lot of numbers you call appear to be local, but they're really not. Steve is local. He went to law school with me. He's lived here all his life, except when we were in Tuscaloosa. Personal injury is somebody runs over you, somebody does something negligent, so you have a case against them. And you can either go and see them on the web at www.morelawfirm.al.com or drop by their office at 8 North Dearborn Street, Monday through Friday. And they, you know, free consultation. They tell you whether you have a case or don't have a case, or it warrants a little more looking up. Also, want to remind you about Hunter Security. Now would be the time to get, if not an alarm system, just a doorbell camera so you know whether, you know, Charles Manson is at your door or it's the new delivery people from Amazon.com. And
they could be related.
Well, they could be. And that's interesting because I think they're going to they won't be mailing anything from the post office pretty soon. And this time of year, hot, cold, you never know what it's going to be. If your AC doesn't work, call Hansen Heating and Air. That's Hansen Heating and Air. You can visit them on the web at HansenAir.com. If you got a bunch of new guns for Christmas, don't want to get them stolen, so go over to Mike Ward's Liberty Safes, and he's at West I-65 Service Road, right where it hits Moffett Road. Or you can look at some of the safes at MWLiberty.com. And, of course, our Spring Hill Ace stores, where I have been to a lot the past few weeks. I've had several projects going on. One is I'm repainting all of my steel targets, and I've gone way overboard. I'm grinding them down to the metal, which means I paint them with Rust-Oleum primer, and then after that, they either get a red or white. It depends on what they were.
You could have avoided a lot of that labor by just using road signs.
By the way, announcement again. If anybody knows of a road sign, it has to be south of the Mason-Dixon line, that does not have a bullet or shotgun blast on it or hole through it.
Take a picture.
And put the date, you know, hopefully a camera that dates it. Because I'm working on that. I have been for years. I thought I had one, but by the time I got there, it was gone. If your back still hurts, go see Dr. Justin Foster at his clinic on Rangeline Road. And, of course, Matt Green, our favorite constitutional scholar here. And you can see him. He handles more than just that. 501 Government Street, Suite 1. That's across from what used to be Barton Academy. I don't know what it is now.
And I was going to add one other thing, because I did not get a new pistol for Christmas. I was kind of hoping, but it didn't happen. But if I had of...
You must have been bad.
If I had of, chances are I would need to get a kit to clean it and additional ammunition.
Right.
And tell me if I'm wrong, Judge. I know I can go to McCoy's and get all of that.
Yeah.
But if I wasn't sure how to clean that particular gun, because maybe I wasn't familiar with it.
I would make sure it was unloaded and take it into McCoy's, whether you bought it there or not. Because, you know,
they know their stuff, yeah. And they are happy to help you and answer any question you got.
The most difficult gun I've ever done that with is a Ruger, I think it's a Mark III 2245. It's a nice gun, a great target shooting gun. But the direction, if they're so complicated that if I hadn't had YouTube, and when I bought it, the guy said, just watch out. And, of course, first thing I had to do is disassemble it. I'm hearing a ringing in my ear.
I think it's your chair spring,
because okay.
You're moving over there.
Okay.
And I'm here to tell you, he's back.
Who would that be?
Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Thomas. Hey,
good evening. Excuse me, I had to change the diaper.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm here alone.
You're a completely emasculated man.
I'm blindfolded with three little toddlers around.
Hats off to you, Thomas.
From all angles, and I never know where
hey,
they
Thomas.
Are. Anyhow,
let me tell you one story. They asked this English member of Parliament one time. He's real uppity. This is last year or two. He says, well, Howard, because he has a bunch of, Howard's changing those diapers, still horrible. He said, you'd have to ask Nanny about that.
Diapers aren't my strong suit. I have to say that. And You were mentioning courts, and I don't want to go downtown and observe another court. I've been an eyewitness a couple, and
I have no
interest in those anymore.
Yeah, I was talking to people who've never been.
Oh, yeah, I understand. It was supposed to be funny. Anyhow, I wanted to say Happy New Year, Judge and Charlie.
Thank you.
And I enjoy your show. Listen to it all year long.
We're and 1 year older and 1 year closer to death. So we thank you for that.
Thanks for cheering us all up, Judge.
No, we enjoy the new year. It's a time of reflection.
I wanted to say that I thank you for sending me the book, Judge.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Politically incorrect version of the Constitution.
And that is by Kevin Gutzman, correct? I've got
yes.
it right here. I'm going to get him on the show one day. If anybody's watching Facebook, I'm showing it here. You don't have to have a law degree to read it. In fact, you know more about the Constitution than lawyers do after you read this. This man is not only has his law degree, but he has a PhD in early American history.
What's the name again?
It is called, The Politically Incorrect Guide to the Constitution by Kevin R.C. Gutzman. You know they do that. He is a professor, I think, I'll get it wrong. But anyway, he writes very understandable things, and you find him on the internet too. Very understandable.
Yes, my wife's been reading it to me before bedtime, and I'm going to show up on the Sean Sullivan show pretty soon here.
Oh, good.
My knowledge is show up.
Well, it just shows you how much is fraudulent that we've been taught.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I wanted to ask you a question here. We got this thing with the shutdown of the government, and some are saying that the president can build a wall, and other people's are not. But I remember this case back in 2006, and a $7,000 bill went through, and the Senate passed it. And at the time, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Schumer, and a bunch of them voted for it, and in it was partly a fences in certain areas.
Yeah, and it never got built, did it? never got done.
No, and why the flip-flop on wanting to build it and stopping the president from doing this? And this is hurting a lot of people.
I think they want the last hope, the shining city on the hill, United States, to be drugged down in the mud with 90% of the countries in the world.
And they hate Trump.
Yeah, part of it is they hate Trump. There's no question about that. But I think he could build it. There is some unallocated money in the Defense Department. One of the duties of the federal government is to repel invasions. And if that's not an invasion, I don't know what is.
Doesn't the president have discretionary funds?
He does. You know,
I mean,
if
you
strictly went by
does.
The Constitution, like we just read about, no, he can't do it. But considering what they can get away with now, sure.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, I sure appreciate you taking your show, Judge. You're a credit to the community.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Always good to hear from you, Thomas.
Charlie, I want to mention what has been in the news a lot lately. A Muslim putting their hand on the Bible and swearing the oath and all. Do you know?
Is that a contradiction?
Well, I'm sorry, the Koran. Do you know the state of Alabama has never required either a witness or an office holder being sworn in to place his hand on a Bible? People do
that.
It for PR all the time. The standard oath is this for witness. Do you solemnly swear or affirm in the testimony you're about in the proceeding you're about to testify in that you will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Help God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if somebody says, well, I'm an atheist, and if they tell me in advance, I cut the so help you God off. Some of our liberal judges just did it by default. But no, there's no requirement. The congressional oath, you can read it in the U.S. Code. No requirement of a Bible.
Well, there's a Muslim lady that was elected to Congress, I think from Michigan, I want to say, but
I'm
not sure.
Or Wisconsin.
But, would she have been sworn in with the Koran?
Well, you could be sworn in, with the Book of Zeus if you wanted to.
That's why I'm asking.
It just doesn't, it just requires raising your right hand. And then if you Alabama had more protections regarding freedom of religion than the U.S. Constitution when the Alabama Constitution was ratified in 1819. But it's always said that provision, you can fashion an oath that is suitable for the person's beliefs. You got to make sure they believe in, hey, if I tell a lie, there will be consequences, either legal on this earth or after you die. So that's I'll get more into that if we want to after the break. Remember, we're at 251-343-0106, Armed Alabama on FM Talk 106.5 in beautiful Mobile, Alabama. We're on every Tuesday night, and you can visit us on our website. That's www.armedalabama.com or on our Facebook page. We'll be back.
They're walking on the fighting side of me. They're walking on the fighting side of me. Running down a way of life our fighting men have fought and died to keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song that I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
I'm looking for Josie Wales. That'd be me. You're wanted, Wales.
I reckon I'm right popular. You a bounty hunter?
Man's got to do something for a living these days.
Diane ain't
much a way of living. Charlie Josie Wales, Outlaw Josie Wales, is one of the few movies I own. At one time when videos first came out, I probably had a lot of them. But these days, probably because I don't think they're any worth it. But Josie Wales is one I have. So we were talking about oaths earlier. And, I don't understand why people, not anybody in this studio, but these fools that start saying something, before they know what they're talking about on television or, whatever. I mean, for instance, let's see where this was. Here. Okay, let's see. I've got it under my oath section. And oath to a trial jury. This is the large jury that you bring in your courtroom.
You swear them all in?
Yeah, before you start. This is the petit jury that you 12 and usually put 14 in just to help. But you say, do you solemnly swear or affirm that you will well and truly try all issues joined between the defendant and the state of Alabama and a true verdict rendered according to the evidence, the law and the evidence, so help you God? And like I say, if somebody – it's better if you are atheist or something like that. We've seen everything. Just slip a note to the clerk and say that. What I love is, there's certain religions that will not swear. And sometimes I know when one's coming up and I'll say, do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony? I really emphasize affirm. I can't swear. I said, well, did you hear me say affirm in there? Oh, okay. Because they want to fight so much, or an argument.
Yeah, something over semantics, really.
Yeah, exactly. So, but the big jury that I was talking about earlier, do you solemnly swear or affirm that you will well and truly try all issues that may be submitted to you during the present session or week, as the case may be, and true verdicts rendered according to evidence, so help you God? And, the grand jury foreman oath is absolutely, you can't understand it. Get this. You, as foreman of the grand jury of Mobile County, do solemnly swear or affirm that you will diligently inquire and true presentment made of all indictable offenses given you in charge, as well as those brought to your knowledge, committed or tribal within the county, the state's counsel, your fellows, and your own shall keep secret. You shall present no person from envy, hatred or malice, nor leave anyone unpresented from fear, affection, reward, or the hope thereof, but you shall present all things truly as they come to your knowledge, to the best of your understanding, so help you God.
Well, that's lengthy.
But get other grand jurors, here's their oath. The same oath which your foreman has taken on his part, you and each of you on your respective part shall well and truly observe and keep, so help you God.
It could get real lengthy if everybody's having to repeat the oath back.
Yeah, that's why, especially in weddings, too, when people are nervous, I would always said, if you don't want to say anything, just say I do when I nod. And you don't then have to repeat lines.
Hey, let's say hello to a couple of our friends Fairhope. Ben, good evening. You're on the radio.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, good evening, y'all. Good
What's up?
Talking with you. I love your program.
Well, thank you.
You were talking earlier about this being the anniversary of the Battle of New Orleans. There is a wonderful book that if you pick this up, you will not be able to put it down. The title is Andrew Jackson and the Miracle of New Orleans, Battle That Shaped America's Destiny.
I have
the
seen
author
that.
Author is Brian Kilmeade.
So I'm glad I got a recommendation.
From Fox and Friends.
I was a little worried about him writing it and thought he's probably have it ghostwritten, but you're giving it the okay, so that's fine.
Don't you think a lot of these celebrities have ghostwriters?
Well, I think they do, and,
doesn't take anything away from it, I'm just saying.
It's just kind of silly, though. If it's not your product, why?
Because this one here is extremely well-written, whoever wrote it, and I think if you pick it up, you'll really enjoy it.
Good.
You won't be able to put it down. And you also mentioned the outlaw Josie Wales.
Yep.
Forrest Carter, you need to read about his life.
Oh,
if
yeah.
You don't know.
Well, I knew his brother when he was in a different life. I knew his brother, Doug, because, he went through the whole transformation when he left Alabama and went out west. And it is kind of funny he fooled all those West Coast types, because he wrote some good – The Education, Little Tree.
Exactly.
I'm trying to think of one of the outlaw ones. He wrote a lot of stuff.
Well, his funeral was a rather unique event, because all these liberals were touting him, and they didn't realize who he really was.
Yeah.
You had people from both ends of the political spectrum.
Right. And to a certain extent – if you're a good writer, the work ought to stand on its own,
right.
And not say, well, this is written by Stalin, so it's no good. Well, if Stalin writes a great novel and he's not getting the money for it, read it.
Hey, Ben, we're getting short on time, and we need to push on.
Thank you so much, Ben. Now, thanks for the recommendation, too. Appreciate it.
And let's say hello to Scott.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Hey, Scott. What's up?
Not much. I won't take too much of your time. Some of your callers one of your callers was asking about a gun show and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And about the time he got off the phone, I passed the billboard, and the Shriners Temple is actually having a gun show this weekend, the 12th and 13th. I just wanted to let you know that.
There you go. Hit Road, that's out around Schillinger's.
They're doing them all the time. I think at least once a month.
Pretty much all day, Saturday or Sunday.
That's
well, thank
right.
you for that. Yeah, good.
All right, guys.
Perfect.
Thank you. I appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Well, thanks for the plug.
I'm going to end with this quote, and then we'll get into some other stuff. Wolfgang von Goethe, who said some other things that I've quoted before, but I love this. The abolition of capital punishment leads to lynch law and vendetta. So he's saying one way or another, the family friends are going to take it out. Once again, I want to thank McCoy Outdoors. They're on Spring Hill Avenue, just west of I-65.
Great
Anything
people.
Remotely associated with sports you can get. And thank Steve Moore. If you got some personal injury matter, fell down the steps, or God forbid a relative was hurt badly or killed, give him a call. And check out Mike Ward's. If you need a safe, all your hardware stuff, you don't have to buy 100-pound boxes. You can get those at Spring Hill Ace, or at Moffitt Road Ace, or Crayola Ace.
And doesn't Crayola have a lumber yard, too?
They do. They're probably the biggest one. And Hanson Heating and Air, stuff's always breaking there. And, of course, Hunter Security can't be too secure these days. Now, hopefully, we will be back next week. I've got a show I'm kind of working on about new gun laws that are coming into effect this year. Of course,
it seemed like we always get new laws at the beginning of the year.
And
their federal laws changing, too.
As Cicero said, the more corrupt the republic, the more numerous the laws. And I think we've got way too many laws.
I think we ought to have a session of the legislature and the Congress to undo laws.
Oh, I do, too.
Take them off the books.
The U.S. Code 100 years ago was about a fourth the size it is now. You can't be expected to keep up with all
you
the
can't
laws
enforce them all.
That would put you in jail.
So why even have them?
Oh, yeah. But y'all be safe between now and next week, and you can listen to us, remember, on our website or on this station's website, FM Talk 106.5. They have
.com.
A podcast on that, .com. You can listen to us there. And if you have any kind of question or anything, write it down and save it for next week, and we will try to get to it, try to stump the host then.
I think our time's gone.
All right. We'll see you later. See you, Charlie, and see you next week.